What was that movie where the guy was like, "Showtime"?
That was The Incredibles.
No.
No, there was something.
It's got the green face guy.
The mask. Yes.
The mask.
No, it was something else. It was like I'm thinking Jack Nicholson. Showtime. No.
I don't know.
Here's Alan.
I get these weird things stuck in my head, and I don't know. Anyway,
it is showtime.
It is.
Welcome to the Squirrel Report.
It is Squirrel O'Clock.
Yes. You know, I wonder, like, do people stumble upon our show out there, like, in podcast land and press play, and they're like, what the fuck? Who are these people? What are their names? Who are they?
You know what? We never, ever, ever do, like a normal, like,
intro
or introductions or anything.
I think everybody in China who listens to our show is probably familiar with us by now.
It has our names on the info that, like, on Skype.
People don't read, Alan.
Come on, Alan.
iTunes is tough. It has.
It's not a tweet. It's too long.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
Even I'm starting to think even the tweets are too long. Probably.
Yes. Yes.
Everything needs to be like reduced to emojis.
Yeah. You're not wrong. And memes.
Memes, yeah. I'm guilty of the memes, I have to say.
I like the memes.
If we all communicated in memes, it would be like, you know, funnier world to live in.
I work with millennials. They communicate primarily through memes.
It's like it's like Star Trek predicted everything, Jay.
I'm still waiting for my transporter, damn it.
I know, me too.
I want to live in the middle of Wyoming.
You know, I was thinking about the transporter thing. Because the transporter, like, breaks you down to your DNA, right?
To, like, the atomic level.
Yeah.
Whatever. And then rebuilds you.
Yes.
So if I went through a transporter, would I come back with two normal legs?
No.
Why not?
Because you come out the same way you went in. Unless there's a horrible, horrible accident.
And they graft a shark fin to your ankle or something.
And it might split you into two people. Or it might change you into somebody else. Or it might send you to a different universe. Or, you know.
Yeah, that's right. Even in the original series, we got the start, the evil universe with evil Spock with the goatee. Yeah. I love that they noted evil by having a goatee.
Well, yeah, because you can't have evil without a goatee.
That was my favorite part.
And kind of oily.
Well, yeah, you know, like basically Italians.
Oh, man.
Oh, God,
I always thought that was funny. Like in the original series, like in the Klingons in the original series, they were always kind of like greasy, you know? It was just sort of...
Was like basically they had Russian accents and dark hair, and that was your Klingon. Yes, there we go.
Yep.
No, this is not a Cold War foil. These are clearly aliens. Look, they say things like "patak," so they're vaguely German too. There's a lot of spitting involved.
Or cats, you know, trying to cough up a hairball. You know, it's the same thing.
Other than television, you know, it's funny though to watch, you know, the late 1960s Star Trek where they have the communicators, and that was like unthinkable at the time.
Oh yeah,
that you could have something that you could put in your pocket that could communicate with something miles and miles away. Oh please, come on, it's ridiculous. Now we look at the original series and we're like, that's all that thing does? It's huge. It's chunky.
Yeah, I know. Look how big it is. And you can only talk on it. What a waste.
And that's all it does? It's like a flip phone, but larger. Yeah. Duh. It's like the old Motorola StarTAC, you know? Yeah. In a pinch, you can bludgeon someone with it. He was bludgeoned with a StarTAC. Which, you know, granted, it's not like the old Ma Bell rotary phones that you could like drop on someone from a second story window and break their car. Clang.
Yeah, I have one of those. That's back when you build stuff to last forever.
If I could figure out how to hook it up to.
It was back in the day when Mike got it, like when he was quite young, I guess probably when he first moved out of his parents' house. And it was back in the day where you had to like rent the actual phone from Ohio Bell.
Oh, geez.
And they had like Ohio Bell stores like in the mall where you'd go and get your rent the phone.
Right.
And I think shortly after that, they ended the whole phone rental thing. And that was actually the phone we had when we first got married. We had a rotary phone because we were so we had no money, and we really didn't care. It was like, yeah, okay, phone. You know, we had like a landline with a rotary phone. It was like whatever.
That's how it was pre-breakup.
Yeah,
you could not attach anything that wasn't made by General Electric,
right?
To your phone, to your system. Right. It was had to be wired in,
right?
And there was a phone rental charge on your phone bill.
Well, Mike probably still owes Ohio Bell some sort of amount.
if the phone's somewhere in the house, they're gonna be like, someday they're gonna collect on that. They're gonna be like, well, you've had this phone.
It's gonna be like
for 37 years.
Oh, Brita, it's gonna be like that book with the like $10 million library fine.
Oh yeah, like they've held onto the book for 30 years and forgot it. And you know, I've been wondering because the library's been shut down for, you know, we've been closed until, you know, basically last week. And what do people do during quarantine? But they clean their house, right? So I was fully expecting like a huge amount of books that people found in their house, and they said, "Oh shit. This is a library book. I haven't returned it in 5 years," but apparently people are better than I thought.
No, they just throw them away.
Throw them away. Maybe they do. Yeah. I don't know. So.
Because, you know, if you've had it for that long, you're certainly not going to go back to the library and go, I found this book.
Well, I don't know. People might. It's not like we charge them. We don't care that much about fines.
Or books. You just don't want library. Come on.
Oh, wait. I got to tell you.
Oh, okay. No.
Wait. No. This is... Okay. So last week we opened, and we're not open to the public, and we're not doing any, like service to the public yet. We're just using this time to kind of get ready and prepared and like work out procedure and figure out how to deal with the public. Right. Anyway, so where's it going with this? Oh, so it's kind of like we're doing this like incremental opening. Like, you know, we do this not open to the public, not serving the public yet. Next week, starting next week, Tuesday, we're going to be doing curbside service. And then we're thinking around June 8th, we're going to like open to the public, and I'm doing air quotes. And the whole thing is really ridiculous. But I just figure I'm going along with everything because I'm getting a paycheck, you know, whatever. Whatever they tell me to do, I'm just going to do because I'm getting paid. But when we open to the public on June 8th, we are opening to the public that have made appointments. And the appointments are for computer use, notary services, passport services, stuff like that, printing, faxing, you know, et cetera. However, the one thing that people are not allowed to do in a library is go look at the books.
Okie dokie.
Right?
Yeah.
We're actually going to have like caution tape around the books and not allow patrons to go look at the books because they're not allowed to handle materials because they have dirty little fingers or something. I don't know. So it's super weird times at the library. But it's, you know, the we're a library. We have books. People are, I mean, it's like our mission statement, right?
Yeah, you would think.
Whatever. Yeah. Anyway, moving on. Nobody cares.
Library books, those don't go together. Come on, Rita.
There's, you know, we've been moaning and groaning about being stuck in the house during, you know, the coronavirus and all that kind of stuff.
I have not.
I know you. Well,
yeah.
Well, I actually haven't either. However, there's something that's been going on that warms my heart.
Okay.
You know what the Cannonball Run is, right?
Yes.
During the coronavirus, there's been like 11 Cannonball Run records set.
What? Yes. Oh, my gosh. They keep breaking the record?
They keep doing it. Somebody does it, and then like a couple of days later, somebody else does it and breaks their record. They're doing it, and they're down to like 26 hours or something like
that.
Oh,
my God. It's,
like, it's insane.
It's insane.
But you think there's nobody on the roads. They don't have to worry about traffic. The cops are off doing something else because they all have problems.
Gas is cheap.
Gas is dirt cheap.
And, yep. And the police aren't really...
No,
paying, you know, unless you're really going fast, they're really not interested in stopping.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're not out there because they're not going to waste their time running a speed trap because there's not enough people out there to make it worth the money. Right. So they're off doing other things.
And you're not likely to hit anybody.
Right. I mean, it's just, it makes me happy. It makes me smile. I love a good anti-hero scofflaw that is really not.
It's gaming the system.
Yeah, but they're not, you know, the only people they're endangering is like themselves. And I'm perfectly okay with that.
You know, though, there's one aspect of it that bothers me. And it's seeing people who have been like, we've got to stay in our homes and hide and climb under the bed. And they're going, look at this. This is awesome. And I'm like, wait a minute. How can you hold those two views?
Yeah.
Are you a giant fucking hypocrite?
Yes.
Because if we should all stay home because this virus is so, oh my God, we're all going to die. You should be pissed off because here's the thing. There are still people out there. There's still people that, you know, that are essential employees. They're out there doing their jobs. If one of these assholes hits them at 100 miles an hour, you're going to have a giant emergency response needed. It's going to be slower and it's going to tie things up. And it's going to expose a bunch of people. If you really are concerned about this, you should be pissed off about it. And I've seen a lot of stuff like that.
I don't know. I don't know if people, well, I mean, you do have the like Karen types that are like, everybody just needs to stay home and.
You're not social distancing.
Yeah. That's
you're not wearing a mask.
I think mostly people are afraid for themselves, and people at this point are trying to just take care of themselves, which,
well,
you know, step in the right direction, really.
Look here's out for number the thing, one. I've seen a lot of people post things like, if you're not going to wear a mask, unfriend me.
What?
Or yeah.
Have you unfriended them?
Or even I...
Tell me
don't
you unfriended
them. So,
oh.
I don't care enough. That's the whole thing. It's like, I don't care. I find it really interesting. And right. There was I believe it was a Pennsylvania legislator who said, if you got within 6 feet of her without a mask on, she's going to shoot you.
What?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
I saw
that.
Yeah,
I think it was Pennsylvania. And I've seen a similar sentiment.
I think that's
you know
illegal.
That oh if you approach me and you're not wearing a mask that could be considered malicious intent and I'd be right within my rights to draw down on you and I'm like you're a retard A
yeah
B I don't want you on my fucking side and C here's the thing if you're wearing a mask and you have encouraged and gotten everyone you love and care about to wear a mask. There is only one reason for you to complain about other people not wearing masks, and that is virtue signaling.
Yes.
Because if I'm wearing a mask, everyone I care about is wearing a mask. It doesn't matter if no one else wears a mask. I don't care. Unless I want people to know just how much I care about coronavirus. And, you know, the whole, well, what about the downstream effects? Because if nobody wore a mask and this blew up out of proportion. Okay. A, you keep saying that. You keep saying that this thing is just primed to explode. And no. If we don't act within, if we don't act immediately, the polar ice caps are going to melt. In 10 years and New York will be flooded. That was, what, 18 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it'd be one thing if they'd be like, okay, this is a new virus. We don't really know what's going on, so take precautions. You know, we're not, you know, we have no evidence. We don't know anything about this.
Exactly.
Instead, it's like they make these pronouncements like, you know, this is science. And if you don't believe me, you're anti-science and you want to kill grandma.
What's the science that just came out like today, yesterday, whatever? The CDC now says that it is unlikely that you can catch coronavirus from surfaces.
Right.
You know, like, you know, touching something that someone else touched. Yeah. Unlikely.
And this is a full 3 months in.
Yeah.
We have known about it. We've had cases here. We've been studying it for 3 months. And we're still finding out new stuff. And you know what? This is not meant as a condemnation in any way, shape, or form. It is new. There's no question about that. This is something new. It's something we haven't seen before. It is prudent to take precautions and to be concerned and to err on the side of what if this is the next bubonic plague. Mm-hmm. Okay. I get that. We have ample evidence at this point that it's not the bubonic plague. That it is not the, you know, Ebola virus. It's not the virus that turns your insides out. It's not leprosy. It's not, you don't contract it and then, you know, die puking blood 24 hours later. You don't turn into a zombie. You don't shoot blood from your eye sockets. It's a respiratory thing. If you have respiratory issues, you really need to be careful. If you are advanced, you really need to be careful. And I don't think there's anything wrong with saying that. But why the hysteria? And why I have so many people bought into it? That's the thing that floors me.
I think everything now is hysteria.
Yes.
Because of the media. Yes. Everything. Every new thing is hysteria.
And
until the media loses interest, then everybody else loses interest. And then 10 years later, we say, oh, yeah, what was that thing?
Well, it's like the, you know, never let a crisis go to waste, right? They're going to,
of course,
they're hoping the economy stays tanked through the election and then they won't have to worry about Trump.
Right, right.
So,
except Joe Biden.
And the Democrats are desperately trying to get all this, you know, money pump thing going where they can, you know, pay people to stay home and not work, which they've wanted to do forever. You know, that's like their golden, what are they, the golden ring? That's like the to pay people to stay home and not work is like, you know.
Well, the problem with socialism is that you eventually run out of other people's money.
Yeah, but they don't care about that. They don't.
Okay.
They don't care. The Pelosi, the Democrats, the people that want to be in charge, they don't care. The socialists in charge of these things, they really, if a few million people have to die to have socialism in our time and we're in charge, well, who cares? Look at Venezuela, look at China, look at Russia, that's the model. They literally don't care. You're trying, you know, when people go, oh, I don't understand how they, well, you're thinking like a normal human, not a psychotic criminal.
Lizard person.
Yeah, not a lizard person who wants to be in charge and doesn't care how many people die. So, but as Jay was saying, Joe Biden.
Joe Biden. You know, that's the whole thing. It's like, if you were going to have one person, you know, it's like they learned nothing from 2016. Now, in Joe Biden's defense, he's not as unlikable as Hillary Clinton. Now, that's a lot like saying, hey, you know what? Brain cancer is better than liver cancer. Thanks, I guess.
Yeah.
But, I mean, this is a guy who's reading off of a teleprompter in a friendly phone call with Al Gore. And he's like scanning he's giving this town hall style thing to a friendly media, and he still starts babbling. I mean, they really.
They're counting on the pity vote. I don't know.
I don't know. And then, and as
well, they're counting we on can the segue anybody but Trump in, vote.
We can segue into. It looks like he's narrowing down his vice president choice.
Wow.
Which really, like, what is going on there?
So if he picks, what's her name? Klobuchar? How do you pronounce
Klobuchar. Klobuchar.
If
Biden picks,
is Karen.
She is a Karen. Karen. Oh, my God. Wait a minute. Okay, wait. Okay, wait. So if he picks her to be his VP running mate, does that mean Stacey Abrams will spend the next 4 years saying that she was the vice president of the U.S. like she's done in Georgia?
Yeah.
Oh yes, Stacey. I don't know how that's even a thing. I don't understand why people are like, ooh, Stacey Abrams.
I don't either. This whole time I've been like, who is Stacey Abrams and what has she done?
Nothing.
Yeah, like, I know she ran for governor of Georgia and lost. It was, I guess it was moderately close.
Yeah, but was she a politician before that? Did she do things? Like, was she a representative? I don't even know. Was she just somebody off the street? Suddenly she's...
She went to Yale. That's interesting.
Oh, good for her.
Yeah, but you know what? I've seen her talk, and she's not impressed. You know, if I was Georgia House of Representatives, I'd be embarrassed.
Well, here's the other thing. She's 2 years younger than me.
Mm-hmm.
And she graduated. Hold on. I just saw it.
She's a state representative, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's not, like... a U.S. representative. She's in the state legislature.
So why is she a thing? I don't get it. Oh, because she's female and black, right?
Right.
Yeah.
That's it. Probably. Yep.
I guess 99. Okay, never mind. Never mind. That's perfectly... Yeah. Yeah, minority leader of the Georgia House of Representatives. So she's a state rep. She hasn't even ascended to U.S. Senate like Barack Obama. She's a state rep. She is less qualified than Pete Boutros Ghali, whatever the hell his name is.
Buttigieg.
You didn't say it right, Jay. It's Boutros by golly.
Boutros by golly. Yeah. And she ran for governor and lost. The Battle of the Stacys. Okay.
She reminds me of this one guy that we have here, and he's a local guy, and he runs for everything. Like, there is not an election cycle that goes by where you don't see his signs on the side of the road. I'm like, hasn't he won anything yet? He just runs and runs, and he's like got YouTube videos, and I honestly I don't think he's ever been elected to anything, but man, he's out there. And that's who she reminds me of, like, where she just keeps on putting herself out there. Like, I'm the one, but nobody's voting for you, honey.
Haven't really done anything, but well, she's supposed to be Joe Biden's VP,
she's done nothing but be a state representative for like her entire career.
6 years. And that's the whole thing. It's not like she's a, you know, she's tireless servant in the state of Georgia. No.
She's never done anything else.
She won three terms. Three terms. Ran for governor and lost, and then she's just been Stacey Abrams. I ran for Georgia governor and lost. A lot of people run for governor and lose. A lot of people you've never heard of. A lot of people who don't get any airtime. A lot of people who are not being considered for Joe Biden's vice president. I wonder, too, if they're looking at it like whoever they pick has got to be an actual, like, honest-to-goodness contender because...
Well, they also have to be not pissing everyone off like the other people right now.
Which is kind of surprising that it was Klobuchar. Because yeah. She kind of developed a reputation for being, mercurial, if we want to, we'll throw a $5 word out there.
I think the word is bitch.
Well, you know, I wasn't going to put it that way, but she's yes. Like,
she's like the less nice Hillary.
You know, berating staff members and, yeah. And wasn't she one of the early ones to drop out of the...
I think so, yeah.
The race?
There's breaking news.
Uh-oh.
And his ace of spades, flaming skull, and a pudding cup. Breaking news.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Really? I love the pudding cup. Oh, God.
Flaming skull.
Give me a moment. The pudding cup means something really good.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
Okay. Go ahead.
When
I hear ace of spades.
Yes.
Continue, I'm sorry.
No, a federal appeals court Thursday accepted Michael Flynn's request to have the district judge overseeing his case removed and has ordered the judge to explain why he has gone to such great lengths to avoid the Justice Department's request to dismiss the case. A special three-judge panel has been appointed to review the matter. A June 1st deadline has been set to respond to the request.
Well, well, well.
And apparently this is one of those things that like almost never happens unless it's really egregious. So.
Well, who's going to prison, do you think?
No one.
Yeah, that's about what I was about to say. No one.
Who should go to prison? Well, we have a long list.
Yeah.
Susan Rice.
No. Well, Brita, she wrote an email saying everything was what was it? By the book. Uh-huh. By the book. We did everything by the book.
Sure you did.
And somebody pointed out that, you remember Wrath of Khan, the best Star Trek movie?
Of course.
When Kirk goes by the book, it means he's lying his ass off.
I always write emails saying that, you know.
Yes.
Because certainly did not break the speed limit yesterday. Right. That is my, you know, it's a. Like, we've turned into llamas with hats. That is my least favorite thing to do.
Why would you write an email that far after the event to document something that there's apparently no other record of and say something like that? I mean,
highly suspicious.
This is a lot like your kid coming in going, "Hey, Dad, I totally didn't break the lamp in the living room." "God damn it, what happened?" Nothing happened. I didn't break the lamp. You're like, "Oh, God." You know, this is, we totally did everything by the book. You're like, "Oh, God. All right."
You know, if in a rational world.
It's your turn to look into it.
In a rational world, the minute that memo came to light, somebody should have appointed a special prosecutor to investigate. You know, I mean, it just looks guilty as hell. I mean, just you know.
It's really cute how last week Barack Obama came out and was talking about Trump's response to the virus and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, oh, you're cute. You're trying to divert the attention from yourself. Good luck with that.
Yep.
There I think my personal legacy, favorite is, you Mr. Know, Obama.
Well, you know, Republicans went crazy because four Americans died in Benghazi. Trump's killed 100,000 in Korea. Okay.
I think Jay, if you Jay, it sounded like Jay broke his Skype for a second there.
No. I had to pause.
The force of his rage.
Because if your worldview is so warped that, I mean, we, numbers aside, we can, you know, we can bicker and argue about who killed who, but numbers aside, if you are so blinded by partisan nonsense that you're willing to say all of the coronavirus deaths are Donald Trump's fault, you are what is wrong with America. Plain and simple, because you are enabling the people that are pushing this divide. You are emboldening them, and you're making them worse. If you honestly think that Donald Trump is at fault for the coronavirus deaths, you're the problem. Plain and simple.
Well, these are, I mean, I'm sure that these are the people who get their news from, you know, the MSNBC tweet of the day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's not like they read the actual story or look into anything. They just say, oh, Rachel Maddow tweeted blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And
right.
Therefore, this is the truth. Hands. Yeah.
Well, you know, that's a big problem because the, you know, I'm I like freedom of the press. I like the First Amendment.
Yes.
The press.
I hear a butt coming.
Well, I'm trying not to have a butt.
Okay.
because I don't, you know, I don't, I like it the way it is. Well, I would, you know, it's kind of one of those, like, you know, 10 guilty men go free, then one innocent man goes to jail. I mean, you know, the price we pay for the First Amendment is this media, the ability of the media to put out all this complete bullshit with virtually no consequences, or at least no immediate consequences. I mean, it's, you know, Rachel Maddow for 3 years went on TV every day and was like, Russia, 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 Russia. You know, how many times were they about to march Trump out of the Oval Office?
Oh, yes. Oh, it's every single news item was a bombshell.
Right. And it was all, and they didn't, they not only did they not investigate anything, they purposely, they were like, you know, oh, I didn't see anything, you know.
Yep.
How did this, you know, it just, the willful ignorance on the part of the media for a narrative that goes along with what they want to happen is, I think in the long term, it's going to cost them big, but in the short term, it's just,
you know, I'd like to agree, but we're,
I mean, can CNN's ratings get any worse? I mean, theoretically, I guess they could, but come on. I mean, they're down in the hundreds of thousands. In a country with 350 million some odd people, CNN's ratings are in the hundreds of thousands. I mean, come on.
They're seen by positively hundreds.
Yeah. This is, you know. But even Fox News only gets a few million. So, I mean, it's not like anybody's watching the news.
Right. Yeah. But, you know, at the same time, they managed to foist this pandemic panic on us and brought the economy to a grinding halt. 30 million people out of work. You know, they drove the American economic engine into the ground on fire.
Well, and it was weird because when, you know, when they first started doing this, the media was against it. Remember when Trump shut down flights from China? They're like, oh, you horrible racist.
Well, that's what, what's her name? Kaylee, the new press secretary.
Yeah.
Absolutely hammered the press.
Yeah, that was great.
Well, it's funny that you're saying that because here's some quotes from your organization about how the coronavirus isn't a big deal.
And then they spun on a dime and suddenly it's the end of the world. And if you leave your house, you're killing grandma. And
yeah. You want, why do you want grandma to die?
I mean,
and then, you know, I think we hit a tipping point where they were racing the death count up to 100,000. And then somebody kind of said, hey guys, the worldwide death count is 300. There's no way on God's green earth we have a full third of the total worldwide deaths. It's statistically inconceivable.
Well, yeah, because they've been, you know, there's two things. One, the hospitals get paid extra for everybody that dies from coronavirus. So guess what happens?
Right.
You know.
They've all died of coronavirus. And they've been, you know, like all of a sudden all these states are like, yeah, we took a look at the numbers and
also
had to make a few adjustments.
The death numbers are not, I mean, you read, oh, another 1,000 people died yesterday, but that's not how it works. You know, if the death count for corona victims goes up by 1,000 people, that doesn't mean 1,000 people died yesterday. That means the office that records these things got the notices of 1,000 deaths that day. Those people might have died over the course of 2 weeks, and they're just now getting the paperwork. So, you know, you can't, you know, we're at the point, literally, you can't believe anything.
Right.
They've dirtied the water. They've muddied the water so much that, and it's become so political that you can't believe anything.
Yep. But you know, that works in their favor.
Sure.
Because you hear the soundbite of more Americans died from coronavirus than died in the Vietnam War. And that is a meaningless number. Every year, more Americans die of diabetes than died in the Vietnam War. We're not getting rid of, you know,
more people other die than Michael of Bloomberg, medical accidents.
Right. Yes. Orders of magnitude.
More people die from running their car into somebody else on the road. I mean, it's like, you know, come on.
You know, exactly. It's risk assessment. The one thing we have not seen on a wide scale is a breakdown of the deaths, because
you know that's one thing I've been looking for, and it's almost like another one of those willful or ignorance things. I want to see the demographics of the people that are dying.
I
don't
actually
tell me,
saw one.
Oh, what did it say?
I saw one from Massachusetts, which is one of the more intensive states. That they've had a bunch of deaths in Mass. The average age is 82.
Yikes. Average.
You know, which means that for every 60-year-old that died, several 100-year-olds died.
Wow.
You know, again, it's terrible. It's sad for those who have lost family members.
Yeah, but
you know,
those are also the kind of people that if they catch a bad cold, they're going to die.
Everything okay?
Go ahead. Carry on.
Okay.
If Tyke starts yelling at you, turn your volume.
No, it's Skype keeps dropping in and out.
Yeah,
go ahead.
We hadn't lost you.
Right. You know, it's not that we are happy. You know, and that's the whole thing. It's like, well, you want grandma to die. It's like, no. But from a risk analysis standpoint, the people that are most at risk are at risk for everything.
I've also seen indications that obesity plays a huge part.
And just comorbidities. That's right. The other thing. Like out of Italy, 90%+ were there was something else going on. It's not, you know, it's the way people are reacting. You'd think that, you know, your average 30 something in perfect health was catching this and dropping dead.
Right.
And that's not borne out by literally any of the data anywhere.
Well, they're also not releasing data on, like, when they do these contact tracings, right? You've seen some of it. You know, I'm starting to see things where it's like, it matters what environment you're in. Like, if you're outside, you're almost not going to get it. Which is funny because they keep closing down all this outside. They close parks and beaches and all this kind of stuff. The places where it's like 99% unlikely you're going to get it. But but also, you're not going to get it in the grocery store. You're not going to get it in these places where there's lots of air movement and you're not standing in close proximity to someone for a long period of time. And things like that. So the places you're going to get it are in small rooms or small offices with poor air circulation.
So the library.
Or a subway.
Right. You have to be in close proximity with somebody else for an amount of time that like exceeds 10 minutes.
It's
in order to get enough of a viral load to actually become sick. I mean, it's not a, you know, I mean, anybody, you, I'm not saying you can't catch it off a toilet seat or something. I mean, you know, I mean, the weird shit.
Stop
happens.
Licking toilet seats, people. Come on.
Yeah. I do want to riff on something there, Alan, with the contact tracing, something that I've seen bandied about, and it becomes a headline or a Twitter soundbite or, you know, something of that nature. Where they say, you know, Republican areas don't pay any attention to social distancing. Republican areas are moving around. Democrat areas are staying close to home. Well, yeah. Do you know where's a Republican area? Wyoming. Yeah. Do you know Wyoming doesn't have a lot of fucking people? Yeah, you might. Your average person in Wyoming travels 10 miles a day. That's beyond the social distancing, blah, 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 blah. Do you know why?
The grocery store is 10 miles away. Hell, you're lucky if the grocery store is 10 miles away. It's usually 50 or 60.
The Democratic areas, their average travel distance is only a mile and a half. Yeah, and they encounter 500,000 people in the time they do that.
Yeah.
It is a completely meaningless statistic. That's only purpose is to further the American divide.
Mm-hmm.
Well, look at what they did to DeSantis.
Oh God, yeah. Yeah, DeSantis is like this horrible person. He opened up beaches. Beaches in Florida, by the way, have been open for what, a month now?
Right.
And I'm sure we've all heard the stories of the million plus dead from coronavirus since they reopened.
They're dead or literally littering the streets.
They're everywhere. They're like zombies. It looks like Night of the
It's just
here we go. Here we go. Night of the Comet. Yeah. There we go. We'll throw down the 80s not even horror, just.
They have carts roaming the streets, some dude ringing the bell. Bring out your dead.
Meanwhile, in brave New York that, you know, didn't shut down the subways and shunted coronavirus patients into nursing homes. You couldn't make this shit up. This is Montgomery Burns from the Simpsons level evil. He's like, you know, Governor Cuomo, what should we do with these sick coronavirus patients? Ooh, put them in the nursing homes. Excellent. You could not write this in a book.
And they treat Cuomo like he's a fucking saint.
Oh, he's Governor Party Tits.
Yeah.
Ooh, he's got pierced nipples. And his brother with the emerged from the baby he's been free from coronavirus. And the woodland creatures made sure Cinderella made the ball. What the fuck is going on?
Oh, I love a good J rant.
It's just the fact that they're not shunning the leadership of New York with pitchforks and torches. Why are all of the hardware stores not sold out of pitchforks? Because they should be marching on Albany demanding this man be removed from office and ideally dragged through the streets. This is malfeasance on a grand scale. This is malfeasance they haven't dared charge Trump with. Meanwhile, he's like, oh, look at Cuomo. He's presidential. Maybe Biden should step down so he could take it.
Well, the New York Transit Agency has now spent $1 million in UV light machines to clean the subways.
What? Yes, they're cleaning them once a day.
They might as well not bother.
There's no reason to bother at this point.
If you're only going to clean the subway once a day, that's not the... I'm sorry, my vocal, my mouth parts have stopped working because I'm so twisted up.
That's another, like cleaning. Another headline, New York dusts off 1918 pandemic playbook for help in making subway safer.
It's not...
And this was a headline from today.
It's not the cars that are getting the people sick. It's all the fucking people crammed into the cars that are making people sick. Clean them, don't clean them. It's not going to matter.
Yeah, you would literally have to be fogging them with bleach
while the people were in there.
Yes, yes. Just have them coming out like the lettuce section in the produce department of the supermarket, just spraying bleach on everybody. Everyone would come out of there looking like Iggy Pop. Yeah.
But the 1918 thing that they just unveiled today, which is like months after this whole thing started, mind you, New York may use staggered work hours to keep the subway safe. This is months later, people. Months later. After New York has spread the virus throughout the entire goddamn country.
Right. Right. Whatever numbers you choose
now
to believe.
Now they're going
to
do something about the subway. Okay.
Right. Right. Whatever numbers, whether it's the redacted, the retracted, the protracted, contracted, subtracted, we don't know. But no matter which numbers you use, New York is a huge percentage. They're
huge, yeah.
Damn close to half. And when you add in New Jersey and Massachusetts, it's over half of the U.S. deaths just in that small area. Everywhere else, you know, the state of...
And not only that, Jay, but they spread it everywhere, too.
Right.
Because except for, you know, the West Coast, almost all the other cases in the U.S. came from New York. So, did we lose Jay?
Maybe.
No. As
I was
rinsing out my glass, so I muted, so we wouldn't hear the water running. That's all. So, you know, it's just mind-boggling. It really is, and we should all cower, and we should wear masks, and we should shun people that don't wear masks because. There is the tiniest fraction of a percent you could catch a disease that won't kill you if you're under 80 years old. I understand. Yeah, that's a blanket statement, blah, 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 blah. Statistically, and we do everything based on statistics. You know, Geico gave us 15% off of on our auto insurance. Do you know why? Because with nobody on the road, there's no traffic accidents. So they're making money hand over fist. They can afford to be generous. And I'm making air quotes here. Verizon told us, don't worry about your data overages. We're all in this together. You fucking motherfuckers. Everyone's home. Nobody is using a fucking lick of data.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's so easy to be magnanimous when you know you're not going to have to deliver on it. Who the fuck is using data? Nobody.
Nobody. Yeah.
If you're an essential employee, you're working in a supermarket, you're working in a laboratory, you're working in public safety, you're not on your fucking phone, period. Everyone else is home. Or guess what? They got Wi-Fi. So you could be you could say, we're going to give you 10 times the data. It won't fucking matter. Because we look at things through statistics.
Right.
And the statistics of the coronavirus are that if you are not 70 years old or older, you go down there. If you are not immunocompromised for any reason, if you are an otherwise healthy person under the age of 70, you are extremely unlikely to die of coronavirus. Now, you still don't want to get it. That's the whole thing, is there's this disconnect. And I've got my theories, but I'm just going to leave it as there's a disconnect. I'm not going to say why. I think we all know why I think why. But between, you can say, look, statistically, you are unlikely to contract this, which gets translated into you want grandma to die.
Mm-hmm.
When you point out that otherwise healthy people really don't have a lot to worry about, and that has been constant the entire time. And that's the thing that kind of bothers me the most. Everything we thought we knew about this changes on a daily basis. And there's nothing wrong with that. We're studying it. We're learning every day. This is a rapidly unfolding thing. It's a disease we're not familiar with. I understand we want to approach it with abundance of caution. And we want to be careful. That makes sense. The one thing that has not changed is that otherwise healthy people, more than a decade away from the average lifespan,
mm-hmm.
don't have a lot to worry about. And that has not changed. The demographics have not changed. You go and you look at Italy or Spain that had a real problem with it, and the same demographics. It's the elderly. It's the compromised. It's the people that have, and again, when you say that, people are like, ooh, you want grandma to die. It's like, no, I want policies to be made on things that make sense. I don't want the entire economy brought to a grinding halt and businesses plowed under because people who are ordinarily at risk from everything are at risk from this disease. And suddenly it makes you Hitler for wanting this, for wanting a little bit of common sense, for saying, hey, you know what? Maybe we can start reopening after 3 months when we were told we were going to do this for 2 weeks.
Right.
You know, 2 weeks, flatten the curve. We'll make sure that the emergency rooms aren't overwhelmed and they've got enough equipment, blah, 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 turned into 3 months.
Right.
The good news is, Jay, they have a cure.
Oh, they have a cure?
Yep. The Canadians. The Canadians have a cure.
The Canadians have a cure.
Yep.
Is it Moosehead beer?
No. Marijuana.
Well, God. It is essential.
Mike was just talking about this. He's like, you know, they say marijuana. I'm like, no.
The Canadians did a study, and what they said was that marijuana can keep you from reduce the potential of infection by 70% to 80%.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm skeptical.
Hey, You don't trust the Canadians?
Come on. Well, it's... Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what they don't tell you is who, you know, which Canadian cannabis company funded their research. We have a cure. Get high, man. You know, the other thing you can, the, you know, you can put on your conspiracy theory hat. And you know how New York, you know, basically killed all these old people in nursing homes. What is it that socialized medicine always does with old people?
Mm-hmm. Ice flow.
Yeah. Think about it. Every one of those probably
Death
Medicare. Right. States,
Sarah Palin was mocked.
States paying for them. Cuomo takes the COVID-19 patients and puts them in nursing homes, knowing they're highly communicative. Spread that shit around. Get them off our books.
Yep.
I'm telling you.
Inconvenient. And they also happen to be the people still drawing pensions.
Well, it's also because they're the ones, you know how liberals always project, right? And they're the ones that are saying, you want to kill grandma. So that means they're the ones that want to kill grandma.
Yep. Well, getting back to the whole cannabis thing, I'm guessing there's not a lot of octogenarians getting high. If you're sampling groups in their, 30s, 40s, and 50s, they're less at risk to begin with. It's that, you know, there.
I don't know, Jay. I've heard grandma gets into some freaky shit in the nursing
grandma
home.
Gets in the nursing home. Yes, you know, there's a whole series of like odd correlations out there, things that have absolutely nothing to do with each other. And I think this is absolutely one of the ones that fits in. It's like, hey, you know what? You know what'll keep you from getting the coronavirus? Getting a Honda Civic and putting a fart can on it. Because you know what? You don't see a lot of 85-year-olds driving Honda Civics with fart cans.
Right.
You know, grow a hipster beard. Go to an axe-throwing competition. You know, just pick, you know. Oh, go. What the hell is that? Shit. The extreme sport where they use the stupid bodysuits to windsurf and end up getting splattered on rocks. That's...
Like the flying base squirrel
jumping.
Suit?
Base jumping. Yes. Yeah. You know what? Squirrels. Base jumpers almost never die of coronavirus. Base jumping cures it.
However, they do die of splattering themselves against the
rapid impact
wall.
On... You know, it's just... At some point, you just have to laugh because the other alternative is just crying. Because we are just so... easily led, you know, it.
I really think that because I don't know about your workplace, but in my workplace, even though we're not even open to the public yet, we all have to socially distance ourselves from each other.
Yeah.
And we have to wear masks in the library, even though like everybody I work with has like quarantined themselves for the past 2.5 months. And are all younger than me.
And you're in a county that's had like a whole 8 people die.
And we're in a county where, you know, it's our numbers are so low. But I think there's a sense of like, well, we'll just do this anyway, just in case. And there's, to me, that makes there's no facts behind it. It's just like, well, it's security theater. That's what it is. It's, you know.
Why do you see people traveling alone in a car with a mask on?
I see it all the time.
Do you think fucking coronavirus is going to run up to your car at a red light and yank the door open and jump into your lungs?
I think people are thinking that now. Yeah. I think people are thinking, if I leave my house without a mask on, it's going to get me.
Yeah.
You know what we should do, Jay?
What's that?
We should tell everyone that if you wear an onion on your belt, the virus can't get you.
Because that was the style at the time. No, 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 Alan. ATP gum. ATP gum is the cure.
What's ATP gum?
Adenosine triphosphate. This is I'm pulling out nerdery from 25 years prior. When I was in graduate school, we kept joking about you could market ATP gum, you know, because it's basically in everything, but it sounds vaguely sciencey. So it's a lot like pH balanced. pH balanced for a woman. You know, like, what the fuck does that mean? Are you telling me that women are more acidic and or basic than men? Is that what you're saying? It's pH balanced. Brando has electrolytes.
Yeah, it's what plants need.
It's what plants crave. What's the other one? Oh God, it has alpha hydroxy. Do you have any fucking clue what alpha hydroxy means? No, you don't. It means there's a fucking alcohol group at the primary position. Oh, you didn't know that. Then why the fuck are you proclaiming it?
Because it sounds cool.
Exactly. It sounds sciencey. Science. Ooh, I fucking love science. No, you don't.
You're a science denier. You're a science denier.
That's all I can hear is alpha hydroxy. Like, okay, so the first position has a hydroxyl group. Now what? Do you know what else has a hydroxyl group at the primary position? Fucking ethanol. Methanol. And
all kinds of other things.
I don't put that in my hair.
You might.
Not my shampoo.
You ever wash your hair with beer?
I refuse to answer that
on purpose or not.
Inadvertently, perhaps.
Accidentally getting it on you is not washing your hair.
We throw random sciencey sounding words in and people believe it.
Yeah, that's just marketing.
And that's marketing, yes, but it's now become fucking policy. Yeah. Ooh, wear a mask when you leave the house.
Why? Yeah. Yeah, they tried doing that shit in Harris County. The Harris County judge was like, you know, passed a rule that said you had to wear a mask when you left the house for any reason.
And then define mask, and they're like, yeah.
And they were going to charge people like $1,000 for violating it. It was ridiculous.
And again, I come back to, if you are wearing a mask, you're wearing it properly and you're wearing the right mask. You're not just putting a fucking piece of cheesecloth over your face. There's fucking people going out there with fabric masks, you know, like with crocheted masks. You could see the damn holes.
My favorite was the woman that cut a hole in her mask so she could breathe better.
Well, my favorite was the one who put a hole in the mask so she could smoke her cigarette.
Oh yeah, that's good too.
But
she's breathing through a filter, so it's, you know, it's arguably better.
Like I said, you know, there's a dude who bicycles around my neighborhood with a mask on and no helmet. Dude, you have totally failed the risk assessment lottery. Way more likely to get knocked off your bike than you are to contract coronavirus bicycling through the fucking neighborhood.
I like the panhandlers under the bridge wearing the masks. That cracks me up.
You know, it's interesting. There's a spot on my commute when I come off the highway, come to a stoplight. There's usually a panhandler there. Thanks to coronavirus, they're not there anymore.
Hey. Really? Wow.
Yeah.
Well, so, probably because there's not enough people driving to make it worth a while.
That's exactly it. It's, you know, your doomsayers would say, oh, they died of coronavirus. Whereas the statistical analysis would say there's not enough people driving on the road who stop and give money to make it worth their while. And given the fact that we saw a dip in the auto warranty scam people that has already come back up to full strength, I don't think it's that all of the auto warranty people died of coronavirus. I think they realized that people are home and really fucking pissed off. Nobody is saying, why, that sounds like a hell of an idea. my 14-year-old piece of shit worth a grand, I should spend $200 a month on a warranty for it. People are like, fuck you, I lost my job. You know, there's another thing. I know personally, I think one person that actually got coronavirus. I know hundreds that have lost their jobs.
Yep.
Yeah, that's the big fear now is... I don't know what's going to happen. You know?
Yeah.
Well, I can tell you what's going to happen. The government's going to make it worse.
Okay. Oh,
yeah. No.
Don't know how, but you know, they're going to make it worse.
Alan is the amazing Karnak. Oh, $2,000 a month for everyone. Like, we can do the fucking math. This is a lot like the unemployment. Oh, you get an extra $600 a week. Do the fucking math. Yeah. 30 million people on unemployment. 30 million fucking people getting $600 a month. Do that math and tell me how long that's fucking tenable.
Oh, that doesn't matter. You know, they don't care.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The government can just print money. Who cares?
We'll just burr, go the money printers.
Yeah.
We'll just spool up and make more money. It works so well for Weimar Germany and Venezuela.
Yeah, but that was them. They're not doing it. Yeah. They didn't do it right.
The wrong people weren't in charge there.
That's right.
It's almost like there's an invisible hand guiding things. I threw that out just for Alan.
Thank you. We're almost out of time.
We are out of time.
I think we're over.
Anybody wants to mention
before no. we go?
Stacey M1 Abrams does not look likely to be Joe Biden's vice president. We're all heartbroken.
After she did that, after she did that awesome glamour shot, too.
You know, they should just tell Joe Biden he's president.
Yes.
And tell Stacey Abrams she's vice president. Yeah. And like set, like the Truman Show, and everybody be happy.
Just build them a little soundstage where they can, you know, pretend. You know, Joe
she's
Biden
like pretty much there anywhere anyway with the governorship, right? So,
oh boy,
yeah.
Hopefully, well, next Squirrel Report we won't have to focus on the coronavirus, but I doubt it.
Well, I doubt it.
Well, yeah, if we're not talking about the coronavirus, we'll be talking about the fucked up results of the overreaction to the coronavirus.
Was there anything that in our Squirrel Report page that we wanted to talk about that we didn't talk about?
The Pennsylvania election fraud.
Oh. Well, we can say that. Just we're well over the hour, actually. Yeah. So we'll save that for next week.
Because I think there was more than just Pennsylvania, too. I think there were a couple other places.
But it never happens. Not in real life.
Right. Right. That's a Republican fantasy, remember.
Yeah.
Doesn't actually happen, except where it does. And when it does, it's very rare, except for the hundreds of thousands of instances.
It's racist, suggest it.
Yep.
So there we go. There's a good rant for next week.
Okay. Wind it up, Jay.
All right. We'll get going. I'll have facts and shit.
All right.
Okay.
That's again electrolytes, because that's what plants crave.
All right, everybody. We'll be back.
Okay.
All right.
Bye.
Have a good week. Y'all. Okay. Bye.